My name's Ryan Cross and I'm the committee chairman. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in silent mode or turn it off? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right, I have officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from the law and administration department. Officers from the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided in the centre of the room. I will indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity such as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, and any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item 1, minutes.
Minutes of the previous meetings held on the 27th of October, which were published on the web on the 26th of November, and the 29th of October, they were published on the web today.
Sorry?
Do I have to leave the meeting, Chairman? Because I wasn't looking for this meeting.
Not minutes. No, just
a bit. No. No, you may remain,
even though you can't discuss it as I can.
Apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Peter Jones, Councillor Phillips, Councillor Paul Dassey, who substituted this evening by Councillor Godfrey.
And Councillor Alex Brown as well, please, to apologies.
Thank you. What about Councillor Hood?
I'm sorry, Councillor Hood, who substituted by Councillor Kenny.
Thank you. Item 3, declarations of members' interests or lobbying. Item 4, delegated applications.
They'll be circulated to members in the usual way, Chairman.
Thank you. Item 5, planning applications. Members, if you turn to page 4 of your agendas, application 20/3371/FUL, land off Little Tixall Lane, Lichfield Road, Great Haywood. Proposal is a residential development of 117 dwellings. Good way to our plan, so we will present.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is for the construction of 117 dwellings. The site already benefits from planning permission for the construction of 77 dwellings and associated access roads. Under the extant permission, the northern portion of the site, including 22 dwellings and the main access road, is currently under construction. The layout of the site remains broadly as previously approved in terms of the road network, ecological corridor, amenity space and drainage features. The increased number of dwellings would result in changes to the density, house type, orientation and spacing beyond that which has previously been approved. Planning Committee resolved to defer this application on 1st of September 2021 to seek amendments to the design of the proposed development in relation to the 5 following matters. Integration and linkage to the wider village and Marlborough Close. Distances between windows and garden sizes with regard to the council's design SPD. Improved structural planting within the site with regard to the street scene and the appearance of car parking areas and to wider views of the development. Consideration of the national model design code. And furthermore, clarification was requested on the density of the proposed development. Following the submission of amended plans in response to these concerns, the application was returned to Planning Committee on the 27th of October, where the resolution was again to defer this application due to concerns over compliance with Policy N1 and other aspects of the development. for members to consider the policy in greater detail and to determine the reasoning for any decision. The proposed development has not been amended since the 27th of October, and no additional information has been provided by the applicant in support of the application. The format of the revised report, including the previous two appended reports, includes the previous two appended reports. It therefore considers the issues raised by the planning committee. The report refers to a further neighbour representation received together with a photograph which reiterates and provides further detail on an earlier objection. It should be noted that the lead label flood authority do not object to this application. Their responses are listed in the original committee report, which is on pages 40 and 41 of the agenda. It should also be clarified that at the last committee meeting, reference was made by a speaker to the construction of foundations for plots which did not yet have planning permission, suggesting in effect that the applicant had commenced the development of the proposal. An enforcement investigation has clarified that the foundations relate to plots which are permitted under the planning permission of 77 dwellings. The recommendation is to approve, subject to the completion of a Section 106 agreement and the conditions listed.
Thank you. I should have said, members, because this is an item that has been referred back, the only members allowed to speak and vote on this application is Councillor Cooper, Councillor Cross, Councillor Hobbs and Councillor Kemp.
Can you just repeat that again?
The following members are the only ones allowed to speak and vote on this application because they've been present prior to both deferrals.
Right.
And that is Councillor Cooper, myself, Councillor Cross, Councillor Hobbs and Councillor Kemp. And our legal people say that we need three to be quorum, and there's four that are eligible. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Just so quickly, I was actually in attendance at the first meeting in September as a substitute, but I wasn't in attendance at the October meeting. I'm a substitute tonight, so does that still preclude me from taking part of it?
I'll let our legal officer answer that.
We did have quite a full discussion at the last meeting where further information was discussed and debated, and it's that committee that's decided to go away, consider the policy further, and it's that committee that we need to discuss it tonight. So if you weren't present at the last meeting, then our protocol would be that you wouldn't take part tonight.
Even though I was absent at the meeting in September.
But you weren't privy to the discussion as I went ahead at the last meeting.
Alright, yes, sir. Right.
Mr. Chairman, just before, I will be speaking as a board member.
Yeah, I'd assume that, sorry. Thank you, Brendan. I have an objector, Mr. Andrew Dunn. In the case,
take your seat in the centre, sir.
You'll have 3 minutes from when you start, so, and I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left so you can stand this up. If you speak direct into the microphone, close to it, it should be able to pick you up. You needn't press any buttons or anything.
Okay. Good evening, councillors, officers. I'm Councillor Andy Dunn of the Colwich Parish Council. The original outline application was for 157 dwellings and was refused. Subsequently, outline permission was granted for 77 dwellings, with the scale of the residential development being considered to be acceptable and reflected the advice given by the officers at the time. This new application proposes to significantly increase the number of houses from 77 to 117, a 52% increase. The Stafford Local Plan set a target of 1,200 houses to be provided within its 11 key service villages, of which Great Heywood is one, and which has accommodated over 250 new houses, some 20% of the total, with no improvement seen to local amenities, services and infrastructure. Spatial Principle Policy Number 3, which covers the key service villages, contains a contingency statement which states, where appropriate,
you restrict new
development in areas where indicative housing proportions have been exceeded. The target has been exceeded and Great Haywood has accommodated a significant proportion of these additional and unnecessary houses, which will place a further burden on the surrounding environment and infrastructure, and is an example of a continuous change by stealth. Policy N1 design requires the development to be well connected to the public transport and community facilities and services and be safe and accessible and user friendly, and to ensure places interconnect using important routes, linkages which are pedestrian, vehicle and cycle friendly. This development, previously referred to by councillors as a cul-de-sac and virtually a gated community. To address this, the applicants offered to remove the small boundary between the development of the green and the green space at the end of Marlborough Close. This opening up of this small length of boundary is a cosmetic improvement only and will not increase connectivity with the wider community, which will still rely on a narrow unadopted path through this green space to the uplands that the police advisor considered to be unsafe.
1 minute ago, sir.
Little Tixer Lane West, where the road narrows to a single track with no pavement, requiring pedestrians to walk in the road, or to use the path adjacent to the busy A51. The lack of on-site amenities and poor local public transport, there's one local bus stop and no buses, and the existing unattractive and unsafe pedestrian accesses to the village amenities will encourage what should be unnecessary vehicular movements. I've also reported previously on the localised flooding, particularly in the Uplands, that has recently seen an increase in reported instances. In light of these, may I remind you that Spatial Principle 7 states development will only be supported where it is accessible and well related to existing facilities, the additional houses are not, will ensure adequate vehicle, pedestrian and cycle access, no adequate pedestrian access exists, and will not contribute to flood less from neighbouring areas. We've seen increased flooding.
Can you finalise now, please?
I can, thanks. To summarise, given the key service vintage target has been met, this application unnecessarily further increases the quantity of dwellings within Great Haywood, as covered by Spatial Principle 3. Places further strain on local amenities, services and the surface water drainage system that's considered to be inadequate, and it falls short of policy N1. Namely, a failure to integrate the development into the village and provide safe pedestrian access to the village, and it fails to improve the street scene and remove the appearance of car parking areas. And then finally, it unnecessarily and to detriment of future residents increases the density of the dwellings towards within the development. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. In there is a much sweet. Let our planning officers respond to those comments.
Thank you, Chairman. If I heard right, I think the suggestion was that there's a paragraph that refers to applications can be refused under SP3, but I can't see that. Do you want...
Appendix E.
Sorry?
Appendix E.
Appendix E.
SP3, this is one that distributes development between the levels of the hierarchy. So in terms of housing, it's Stafford 70%, Stone 10%, Keystone Village is 12%, and rest of the borough area 8%. What the speaker's referring to is, it says that this is implemented through the development management process, local plan policies and spatial principles. And then the contingency says, identify the problems and barriers to development by discussions and or assessment. Where appropriate, restrict new development in areas where indicative housing proportions have been exceeded. consider a review of the policy. That doesn't actually say refuse this application. It's talking about proportions and not numbers as well. So as I said, key service villages is 12%, not 1,200. And the other thing that you need to bear in mind is that, as you've heard me say a number of times before, the housing numbers are a minimum, not a maximum. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I've got a supporter, Mr. Steve Ulfrey. Would you care to come up to the table, sir? Make yourself comfortable. You'll have 3 minutes from when you start, and I'll inform you when you have 1 minute to go. You speak direct into the microphone, Bishop, if you like.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me to speak tonight. I appear on behalf of Lorne Holmes, and I'm the Regional Land and Pre-Construction Director. I've been involved with this scheme from its commencement. I only need to be brief in appearing before you, and this is to underline the point that this application for 117 dwellings meets all of the policy requirements that are material considerations for this development. This has always been the case, but I do note in the last committee report that there are three considerations put to members which they may wish to consider regarding policy N1 design. The first of these is around intensification of the site. To clarify, there are 23 dwellings per hectare proposed for this development, and this is less than that at the approved nearby Marlborough Close and Hazeldene development, which is in fact 24 dwellings per hectare. This application has been approved by all officers in terms of dwellings per hectare, and given that this is consistent with other developments in the area, in fact by one dwelling less per hectare, then we strongly feel there is no reason for members not to approve. The second of these is regarding over-intensification. There is also a question put to members about whether any elements of the scheme result in over-intensification. Based on the planning officer's own report, they have concluded that the overall density of the scheme is perfectly acceptable, and so again, our position is that over-intensification is simply not an issue on this site. It is policy compliant in all respects, and we know that we have officers' agreement on that particular matter. The third point raised in the committee report is about whether the application preserves and enhances the local character of the area. I would reiterate here that the application has been through consultation with urban design, open space officers, and all other statutory consultees, and has been approved by them at each stage.
1 minute to go, sir.
Local homes take great care to make sure its developments are sympathetic to the local environment, and we think that this application should be a welcome addition to the Stafford Borough Council area, as well as helping to deliver the required housing supply and additional much needed affordable housing. Overall, you will see consistently from the reports that have been presented to you as planning committee members that officers support this scheme and have done at every previous committee meeting, including tonight. It is of the utmost importance that this is taken into account and that the scheme is policy compliant in every respect. We have gone to great lengths as a house builder to make sure that it has satisfied officers and members' requirements, and we are confident that this development will contribute to the development in Stafford area. We see no reason or justification as to why members should refuse this application, and I would therefore invite you to support it based on the fact that it is fully policy compliant. I would welcome any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you for that, sir. If you care to retake your seat, I'll call on the ward member, Councillor McKeown. You take your seat at the centre table. If you make yourself comfortable, you'll have 5 minutes from when you start, and if you haven't finished, I'll notify you when you have 1 minute to go.
Before I begin, Mr. Chairman, could you put the site plan, you see on the right there, could you put that as a larger version? Yeah. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Could put that up before I begin? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Councillor Andy Dunn for his presentation. To a tune that they're not very familiar with or indeed like. As Andy has said, many applications have been submitted on this site over the years, 157 units in 2013 being refused. And one of the officer reasons for refusal on that was lack of vehicle connectivity between the application site and the village of Great Haywood. In 2014, the application came back to outline for 77, and this was approved. It was promised at that application that Little Tixall Lane would remain open for two-way traffic to Great Haywood and cycle track through to the uplands. The officer report then said, in view of this, it's considered that the previous concerns about connectivity have been addressed. So what's happened? Well, in 2019, and unbeknown to this planning committee, the developer struck a deal with County Highways to close Little Tixall Lane, effectively blocking the connectivity between this development and Great Haywood, and forcing future residents to get their car out. That's history. What about now? The officer report plays down the density issue. But the reality is different. The proposal is to permit 95 dwellings on an area that previously was permitted for 55. That's an increase of 73% in density. And that is significant. It actually takes the density, by my calculation, to 25.5 dwellings per hectare. And that higher density results in a more brutal street scene, described by our own officers as being dominated by sterile and featureless hard standing. And I just want to pick up on the point that Mr. Holmes made about the spatial policy 3. Actually, I reckon it's on page 147 of the plan, and it does state about key services villages, where appropriate, restrict development in areas where indicative housing proportions have been exceeded. As Andy said, Great Haywood has taken the lion's share. And if that policy can't be employed in this instance, what's the point of having that policy at all? Aside from these issues, Mr. Chairman, there is one big reason for why you might not consider this application tonight. At the top of the
development site there,
you'll see a little smudgy grey thing, which you won't be able to read, but I'll read it for you. It says,
a 3 metre easement strip
for a land drain, including 1 metre service footpath and 1 metre landscaping strip, to be provided along that boundary. That can't be achieved.
I've been out
and measured it, and enforcement has been out to measure it. And it's not 3 metres, it's 1.72 metres. So we actually have before us a plan that doesn't square up with actually what's on site. And I would suggest that you might want to consider whether you can consider this application tonight, based on the fact that it's false information before you.
You have 1 minute to go, Councillor.
Wrap up. I'll leave that one hanging there for a moment. 1.72 metres. When the plan says 3 metres. And that is a bungalow under construction, or very nearly completed. It's there. You can't move it, but you can't approve it either. So I'll rest it there, Mr. Chairman.
I'm happy to take any questions
if you have any.
Thank you. You can remain there for any points of clarification, aren't they?
Okay.
I think we are planning also to respond.
The area that Councillor McKeown's talking about, which is plot 64, I think.
What was
64?
64.
It's
104.
Yeah. Yes, enforcement have been out because it's been suggested that the boundary, the distance to the boundary is not right. There is a new fence on the boundary, one that wasn't there, certainly wasn't there a very long time ago. And it's evident from looking at older pictures that it's not exactly in the same position as the fence has been in the past. So what the enforcement officer has also done is measure between the actual outside elevation of the new bungalow and the side elevation of the existing property, and that is correct. So the house is in the correct location. The other thing to mention is that that bungalow and 21 other properties have been constructed in accordance with the previous permission for 77. So there isn't an issue in terms of that not being in compliance.
You want me to respond?
If it's clarification, yes. That's all we can do is clarify an item.
It's before you this evening to approve a plan that says 3 metres, when it's not 3 metres. And it's short by 1.2 metres. Nearly 1.3. And if that area is somehow part of the easement, then surely to goodness there should have been notice served on all of those properties there that this 3 metre easement was going to take off some of their gardens.
Again, I'll ask our planner to respond.
I don't know whether or not that's the case, but it's clear from the photographs that I've seen in the last day or two that the enforcement office has taken that there is a gap along that boundary. There is space for a land drain to be put in. So I don't think there's any suggestion that that won't happen.
Is it 3 metres?
No, I just told you it's not 3 metres between at that point. Now it's not gone down the whole field and measured the other distances, because obviously there aren't any plots set out further down the field. In terms of that area at the top, no, that distance isn't 3 metres. But as I say, that bungalow has been constructed in accordance with the planning permission for 77 in any case.
I still don't agree with that.
I think there's such a big doubt over this, whether that's correct or not.
You can't enter into the debate. You can only answer points for clarification to this committee, as I'm being advised by our legal officer.
Let me just say that.
There's considerable doubt,
Chairman,
about that dimension and that easement.
Again, good way to my planning officer. He's the expert.
If I read out to you what the annotation on the plan is, now it's been blown up, I can see it. It says 3 metre easement for land drain, including 1 metre service footpath and 1 metre landscaping strip. So that still provides space for the land drain all along that boundary.
But it's not 3 metres.
Thank you. You made your point. Please, I'll keep repeating it.
Any other
right, members, you've heard the supporters, the objector, and the ward councillor. Anyone wish to speak on this? Councillor Hobbs.
We've heard about the 157 dwellings which were refused in 2013.
and that was due to it being open countryside and in an unsustainable location. And 77 dwellings were given planning permission, and now we're being asked for 117 more, which is 184 in total, which I know everybody's mentioned this. My question is, what has materially changed between then and now? Where is the justification in that change of thought? All I could see within the papers is that it's now considered to be within a defined settlement boundary. But what about it being in open countryside and in an unsustainable position, as it was previously mentioned?
Let's ask it now, planning officer, to respond to that.
Okay. It's a good question. There are, just trying to see where the list of previous permissions is. Yeah, it is. So I think it's the first one's 2013. Well, in 2013, we didn't have the plan for Stafford Borough. It was the previous local plan. Thank you, that's great. So you'll see that the plan for Stafford Borough, look at the date on the front, was adopted on the 19th of June 2014. So at the time that first application for 157 was refused, it was against the previous local plan policies. I'd also point out that I think 157 was for a larger site as well. It was this site plus another field, I think it was. In 2014, the second application was submitted for 77 outline application for 77 houses, which was approved in March 2015. By which time we were looking at the plan for Stafford Borough, which is this plan. Now, at that time, the settlement boundaries hadn't been defined because they're defined in part two of the policy. So when you look at policy SP7, it says, partway down, it says settlement boundaries will be established in accordance with the following criteria. Prior to the establishment of the actual boundaries, these principles will be used to assess the acceptability of individual proposals of the settlements, etc. Now, also, at 2015, the council did not have a five-year housing land supply. So, the basis of which we were considering applications was under this policy and looking at applications that were adjacent to the boundaries of Stafford Stone, the previous boundaries of Stafford Stone and the Key Service Villages, and this site met that criteria. Now why the outline application was for 77, I don't know. I think that was before the applicants bought the site. And clearly they then submitted a reserve matters application which had to relate to that outline, so it had to be for that number, otherwise it would have had a full application such as you've got here. So in terms of open countryside, because it's within the settlement boundaries defined in the part two plan, by definition, it's within the settlement boundary and therefore not in the open countryside. If it's outside the settlement boundary, it's in open countryside. If it's inside, it's in accordance with that policy. So there isn't an issue of open countryside in relation to this application. Does that help?
Yeah, I can see.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Chairman. One or two issues that I wasn't aware of before, but the comment made tonight highlights them, and that is where the development has started, it's based on the original scheme, which I presume was the 77 houses. So nearer to the A51, we've got a spatial proportion, which is reasonable relative to 77 houses. Where it's really changed is at the bottom end of that plan, where the intensification is increased considerably. And it was suggested by somebody this evening, I think it was Councillor McKeown, that it's now over 25 dwellings per hectare. Now, to me, it seems a bit perverse. Do we have to take this development as a whole, where it does meet the density, or this change, where it doesn't meet the preferred density? That's one issue. The second issue is that before, when it was deferred, there were, I think it could be globally called, the connectivity of this development with Great Haywood. The fact that Little Tixall Lane has been closed off means that anybody now who wants to go down to the doctors, down to the shop, or the pubs or anything else, is more than likely going to drive out onto the A51, down and then back in Main Street and then back into the village. That's an issue itself and flies against the policy of clean air and improved environment and so on, reduced CO2 that this borough council is heading for. It also forces people to take their cars down into Great Haywood, which it will increase the congestion down there. It's very busy area anyway. I note the comment from the police force about the path, which is lauded down into the uplands, as being unsafe. I know there's been evidence of needles and the like down that path. I wouldn't want to walk down there, especially at night. And the rest of the road is an open road down Little Tixall Lane. Okay, it's a dead end, but it's still traffic permitted up there. There's no pavement, there's no cycleway, so you can walk down there and face any car that's coming up there to park and walk beyond perhaps. So the connectivity, to me, that was deferred for has not been resolved. In fact, indeed, the developer said has made no mention of any changes to connectivity whatsoever. I don't think that's been resolved, resulting in this development being a cul-de-sac, the bottom end of which is over 24 dwellings per hectare. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Well, that's our plan of service.
In terms of the query on density first, I would suggest that it should be read as a whole site. For example, if you take the density of the development to the north of this site, on the other side of Little Tixall Lane, Devereux Gardens, the density of that development as a whole is again very similar to this. Around 23 dwellings per hectare. Yet, if you were to look at the developed part of that site in terms of where the houses are, that shoots up to around 39 dwellings per hectare. So if you don't read the site as a whole, ignoring elements of open space or where dwellings are spread out more, the density could change wherever you draw that arbitrary line. In terms of the points on connectivity, the connectivity of the site would be identical whether this is 77 or 117 dwellings. As you've heard from the history of the site, that explains the changes in terms of the road access from Little Tixall Lane and the A51. Pedestrian traffic is actually the only traffic allowed down Little Tixall Lane to a certain point. Vehicular traffic, I believe, is prohibited shortly after the access to Marlborough Close.
Thank you. Can I ask, in the development, do all the houses meet our space about dwellings regulations?
I believe the only site which doesn't meet that is Plot 6, which is part of the 22 dwellings which are being
erected as we speak.
But the addition of ones from 77 to 117, they're all in compliance with our local plan and the regulations that cover us.
Yes.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Councillor Cooper?
Yes and no. The business about whether it's 77 houses or 117 in terms of access, not really. We're talking about an increase of 40 houses, which has got to be, realistically, 80 additional cars on that development, with the potential for coming down into Great Havel via whatever means. And 80 additional cars coming out on the A51 at rush hour. This is where families only have two cars. I mean, my experience is teenage kids have cars, and you're talking about three or four cars per household. It really, the connectivity is not resolved at all. There's been no attempt. And I'd just like to say the boundary to prevent traffic coming up at the Tixler Lane, if my memory serves me correct, is right at the top where the entrance to this new development is and the connection to A51, not by the dwellings down further down. So you can come right the way up to, I think the bollards are right at the top. Not near Devereux Gardens. You made a comment about the density of Devereux Gardens. It's got that little bit of green strip at the top, which renders the density correct. The rest of the houses, as you say, are 70 odd. Now, I wasn't on the compliance committee when that was brought up, but what you end up with is a nice green space, and I use the term carefully, a ghetto at the other end, if you're going to do this. You can cram houses into the tiniest space, if you so desire, and leave a lot of green space. And so it's the density is correct, but it's not. Not for the appearance, not for the street scene, not for people who live there, not for the character of Great Haywood.
Come back.
I do have a point to make on the transport side of things. The transport assessment which supports this application was actually based on the original outline application for 159 dwellings. And that did indicate that there would be no material harm to the local highway network. This is a reduction from that of 38 dwellings.
And the highways department have no objections?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you.
So, Chairman, density matter?
I've got nothing to add on that.
But the density meets all our rules as covered by the local plan and the MPPF.
In terms of the requirements of the local plan and the MPPF, yes.
So that covers the density point. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor King.
I've got a question. When was Marlborough Close built? Because people keep referring to it. When was it built? And I don't know, because it's not an area that I took a great interest in.
1973.
It's got to be, the houses are 70s. Sorry, Chairman, the houses are 70s in their style.
My guess is it's in the 70s because of this, as Councillor Cooper says, because of the style of the houses.
Right. The other thing is, Councillor Cooper has been talking about connection between this development and the village, and that people have to go onto the 51 to get there. There's no connecting, pure connecting road from this estate into the village unless they go on the 51. I will tell you that a week ago, we were coming back and we came through Hickson and we got to the 51, and I can tell you now that I was missed by a speeding car that I didn't see appearing until I was halfway across the road by less than width of this room. And that's how dangerous the 51 is. There are no traffic lights at the Ixon Junction, so God help the people that are going to travel into this estate and travel out. I honestly feel that one of the local, familiar with Liverpool, knows what he's talking about. And please don't talk to me about the highways department. I've been around long enough to know they sit. And I'm not being rude, we've had one come to the meeting. We don't get them come to the meeting, but they tell us what they see on paper. And I've always said this, and I will say it again. You don't get a set of traffic lights erected in this area unless somebody gets killed. Somebody will have to get killed outside the RAF camp to get traffic lights. Somebody had to get killed at Corporation Street, Crockett Bridge Road, until we have traffic lights. And may I say, God help the people down at Little Haywood and Great Haywood. So don't talk to me about the Haywood, the highway department.
Thank you, Councillor. Does anyone else wish to speak? Can I have a proposal on this application? In that case, I will propose that acceptance in accordance with the officer's recommendation. Is that seconded? Can I have a counter proposal? Can you advise, please, Leo?
We need either your proposal seconded or another motion put forward, Chairman. The motion that I...
Councillor Cooper?
Chairman, thank you. The motion that I would suggest this is deferred or rejected is because of the over-intensification at the bottom end, which is greater than the 25 per hectare in that area, and the lack of connectivity to the village, as has been said time and time again. That I would suggest as a proposal.
Is that a material condition?
Going back to what was said before, I don't see how you can take a part of the site out of context with the rest in saying that, because if you could demonstrate, for example, that it didn't comply with guidance in the council's design SPD in terms of space between dwellings or garden area, then yes, I understand that, but none of that does. All of those dwellings comply with the SPD, as has just been said. So if you take, say for example you put a line around 10, 20, whatever number of dwellings, and say the density there is 30, 40, whatever, then you're not looking at the site as a whole, so you're not looking at the application as a whole. You could, looking at Devereux Gardens, which is on the opposite side of Little Tixall Lane, you can see it backing onto the A51. You can see in terms of if you drew a line around parts of that development, it would be much more dense. But as a whole, it comes out at 24, I think it was. 23 or 24, yeah. So I would have concern about trying to disaggregate the site into constituent bits and try and demonstrate a density argument on that.
What about the other point, connectivity? Is that...
Chairman, if I could just clarify, when I talk about connectivity, I'm talking about the other points that have been brought up, the safety of the A51, which I totally agree with my colleague Councillor Kemp on. I visited that site a couple of times. I used the other end of Little Tixall Lane that goes over towards Little Haywood. And getting back out on that road and coming into it is scary now, and there's no traffic coming out. So there is a safety issue, a definite safety issue, regardless of what highway site there is. I'm telling you now as a local resident, a safety issue. And the, well, it's not about that. Coupled with that, with the traffic going down into being forced to go down the A51, the additional traffic, and I would suggest up to additional 80 cars burden, along with the Borough Council's argument to aim for carbon neutrality, in a village area. This is
unfortunately, that isn't in our policies yet. It will be, but it is not at the present.
Okay. So, in terms of connectivity, as has been said before, the connectivity is basically the same as the 77 that were permitted. Yes, in terms of
vehicular
access into Great Heywood, that would need to be by the A51. You're quite correct. I mean, there is a difference in terms of the footpath at the southwest end of the site. That is, I just go to the right plant. So that's the previously permitted plan, and you can see on there the footpath doesn't directly link up with the development. And then when you compare it with between plans 2 and plan 3, so the one on the left is the extant permission for 77, the one on the right is 117. So you can see there's a linkage with a footpath, directly into a footpath linking on the scheme for 117. So in that sense, that part is better than the approval. But in terms of vehicular access, that is exactly the same.
Chairman, if I could just approach the screen, just for clarification.
Yes.
I haven't got opera binoculars. The drawing on the left cuts off where, what, if you're talking about those with dog leg going almost vertical at the end of that footpath, the drawing on the left cuts off that is an existing footpath, that's the dodgy area that is referred to earlier. I would not want to walk down that footpath. Very few people do.
Okay, no, my point wasn't about that. My point was where it connects into the site.
What, on Little Pixel Lane?
Sorry, Chairman, the one on the left appears to link into a road, not a footpath.
This is open space.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I'm being picky, it's just my own local knowledge. Where that footpath goes is actually a path, worn path through an open space. So it will be no different to the drawing on the left. It will be an extension of the existing open space.
Except this is a made path, so it would be
a made path going to an open space.
My point was to illustrate the difference between the two, that was all.
Basically, it proposed those not material conditions.
just to summarise what I was saying to Councillor Cooper, I haven't written down your exact words, but it was effectively over intensification at the bottom end of the site and lack of connectivity to the village. It was the summary of what you were saying.
Was it not? Sorry, through the chairman. Was the summary, if you take into account the additional 80 estimated cars coming through onto the A51 down to the village with that additional housing? So it's a safety issue as well.
Okay, safety issue, okay. Right. So, what I was saying was that I don't think you can have an over-intensification of an element of the site. I agree with you that there is that connectivity to the village could be a material consideration. Now, in terms of safety issue, you're talking about the junction on the A51, aren't you? So if you're talking about that, that's a highway safety issue. So you would need to be confident that we could provide evidence that is different to the county highway department, who are the highway authority. I'm just mentioning that because if it goes to appeal, the highway authority are not going to support that view.
Right, okay. I can tell you, if that's connecting down into, sorry, through you, Joe, if that's connecting down into Great Haywood, you come out there, as is shown on the plan, onto the A51, you then turn left and turn into Main Road. You come back by turning as a main road, right across the flow of traffic, up the A51, then right across the flow of traffic, back into the estate. There have been, I can't tell you how many deaths on the connection with the main road and the A51 since I've lived there over 15 years. It is a black spot now. Additional cars going to the village, one thing. Additional cars coming back is another. That junction is awful. I know we've campaigned in the past to try and get a roundabout or traffic lights there, and apparently not enough people have been killed yet, so...
So, I understand what you're saying. I use that route myself fairly frequently. Not as frequent an issue, but I understand what you're saying. Obviously, the turning off the A51 to get into the site, there's a right turning lane. But I take your point in terms of coming from Main Road out onto the A51. And obviously, there's a 40 mile an hour speed limit now, isn't there? Well, I mean, obviously it's clearly changed over the last couple of years. It used to be 60 before they did the works, and that was in connection with this development, because that's what brought in linking the two junctions, brought in that speed limit. So what I'm saying is, in terms of how you word a motion, I don't think you can use intensification at the bottom end of the site. Yes, you could use connectivity to the village in some way. That could be a material consideration. But if you're going to talk about highway safety issues, you need to be more than general. You can't just have a general highway safety view. You're going to have to be specific about what the issue is, and be able to support that. That's the difficulty, I think.
Thank you, Chairman. In that case, I mean, looking at the material planning considerations here from Communities and Local Government leaflet, highways issues, traffic generation, vehicular access and highway safety. I'm not a highways expert, apart from the fact I drive a car and have near misses like other people do down that end. I'd like to know that our highways people have taken into consideration the two-way connectivity, not just one way, not just getting down to the village, but coming back as well, at the junction with Main Road. So I'm not convinced that's been taken into account with the additional estimated 8 cars will be accessing the village. I have no idea how you'd word that. I'm sorry.
We appear to be at an impasse, members.
Through you, Chairman, I'm not sure it is an impasse. I'm putting a counter proposal that we reject on the grounds that connectivity is not complied, is not altered from previous objections to it, has not been improved. And if we defer it, I suggest we defer it to check that highways have taken into consideration the two-way street of connectivity.
Chairman, the first thing I'll say is that this committee's already deferred this application twice. If that was considered to be an issue, why wasn't it raised at one of the previous two deferrals?
It wasn't.
It's not in the minutes of the last deferral.
I think the minutes
that you approved at the beginning of this meeting.
The reason it was deferred at the last meeting, I have the minutes here. Resolved that planning application number 20/3371 FUL be deferred for consideration at a future meeting due to concerns over policy N1, design and other aspects of the development for members to consider the policy in greater detail. And then there's a breakdown in the report of what is covered by policy N1, which was the reason given for the deferral at the last committee meeting.
Chairman, if I may, policy N1 includes connectivity.
And the outliner answer that, they're the experts.
Does N1 cover connectivity?
terms of the transport assessment, the assessment includes trip rates for both in and out, so it's quite clear from the numbers that the Highway Authority have considered two-way flow, both into and out of the site.
With Councillor.
Sorry, Chairman, the point I was making was into and out of Great Haywood, if that's where it goes away. To connect to the local amenities, to connect to the local village, the need to use the main road junction on the A51. My guess is that's not been taken into consideration because people will have looked at just this plan and not what it's supposed to be doing.
The transport assessment is much more than a plan. It's a lengthy document that Ed's just trying to flick through at the moment. There's all sorts of trip data in there. I'm not a highway expert, but there's a lot of traffic data in that report.
Councillor.
But if you look on page 47 and 48, where neighbours have put in their views, there are actual fact there are 30 items noted. 8 of them are about traffic. It starts with an inadequate public transport system and ends with no pedestrian connectivity to the village. But 8 in there, and one of them is about improved safety measures along a lane, increased vehicle along local highway network. And I mean, a number of us have travelled there, that route, enough times to know that getting onto the 51 is not easy. And I mean, I will say this to you, it's relevant in a way. It was suggested to me that I should go through the village at the bottom of the hill. I wouldn't. I went to the traffic lights because I knew that was where the easiest way of getting on the road back into Stafford. It's dangerous. It's dangerous around that area to think that you can beat the speed in traffic. And I had to smile earlier when somebody said it's now 40 miles an hour. The woman driving the speeding car coming towards them wasn't doing 40, she was doing more than 60. And there's no traffic light cameras at all. You know, and I do feel that the local member, he's not the local member, but he lives there, has made enough points to deal with it on that particular issue.
Okay, put that in the form of a motion then.
Members put a motion forward.
Well,
he's, you know, left for helping.
Councillor Cooper's suggested several things. I've commented on that in terms of what in my view could be or couldn't be material considerations. So I suggest you might want to reflect on what I just said and amend what you'd originally pointed out.
Yeah. A bit late, so I'll leave us.
Thank you, Chairman. It's not my job to give you a planning judgment today. That's for the planning officers. They can debate the planning merits of the application with you. They just have to do so, whether I've got an opinion or not. I'm here to try and ensure that you follow the correct legal procedure. So looking at the motion that's been put down, there's 3 elements to it. I just want to make sure that if you are putting that forward, you have considered it in the right context. So you mentioned density. We have the National Planning Policy Framework that says you need to make efficient use of land. And you also have Policy N1, which says that you must take into account the local density. So if you want to reflect whether density is an issue, you've got the evidence before you, you've seen the plans, you know what the density of surrounding ones are. You need to reflect what's unique about this site when seeing the density of the others, why you have an issue with this one. compared with what the density is in surrounding ones, that's something for you to make a judgment on and tell us why. Local connectivity, I think planning officers have covered that. And highway safety, we have to take it that the highways authority have been consulted on this application, because they have, and they will have made a statutory consultee response based on the professional judgment. Now, you don't always have to accept the highways judgment, but you can't bat it away with anecdotal or opinion evidence. They're going to, it's a challenge. You would be faced with some quite professional statistical opinions. So if you want to go down that road, you would need to be very sure you could put some evidence together to show that there was a real highway safety issue. And bear in mind that there is already an approved application for a lower number of dwellings. I think using the same highway. Is there any difference in the highway element? No, but using the same highways. So that's just things you need to take into account when you come to your proposal.
To reduce my proposal then to clarification from what our planning officer was saying a few minutes ago, N1 part 0 in terms of the connectivity is a material consideration, I would suggest, that we reject the change in plan because of that item. Is that the correct one you referred to, John?
So the fact you're saying that the application is contrary to policy N10 of the local plan.
If that's the one that the officer just referred to, yes.
That's the one I read out, yeah.
So that's the one I'm referring to.
I'll just let our officers come for that.
Cooper, can I suggest that what you're saying is the application will be contrary to policy N1(O) due to the lack of connectivity, or lack of vehicular connectivity, or connectivity in general, I'm not sure.
Connectivity in general, okay. I suggest.
Due to the lack of connectivity to services and facilities in Great Heywood.
Is that proposal seconded?
Chairman, sorry, can I clarify then? That's the proposal put forward. So you've reflected on the density measure, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, it's for you. It was just important I understood what your actual concerns are about the development. So density may be a concern, but have you reflected on the policy that requires you to look at the surrounding developments, and on reflection, do you not feel that there's sufficient grounds to put that forward? So, bearing in mind my advice, it's important you understand that density will be measured having regard, taking into account the density of the surrounding developments, which you've seen the plans of and you probably have local knowledge of. Now, if you can't differentiate between this development and the density on that and the surrounding ones, you're going to find it very difficult to support a justification. On reflection, do you feel that you can't justify that then?
Chairman, I take your point here. Unfortunately, because of the density of 70 houses per hectare of that patch on Deborah Gardens, it's very difficult to argue against this increased densification of houses generally. But that is a separate issue to the increased number of traffic, cars, and connectivity. So I'm removing that comment. Thank you. On reflection.
Thank you.
So, again, would you repeat the proposal, Jim?
The application would be contrary to, or the proposal would be contrary to policy N1 brackets O of the plan for Stafford Borough due to the lack of connectivity to services and facilities in Great Heywood.
Are you happy with that, Councillor Cooper?
Yes, I'm chairman.
Is that proposal
seconded
by Councillor Kemp? All those in favour of rejecting the application for the reasons stated, please show.
1, 2, 3.
Down. Those against?
1.
The application is therefore refused.
Councillor
Godfrey
abstaining,
will
not vote.
He's not allowed to.
Thank you, members. If members of the public wish to leave at this stage, they may do. We'll have a short admin break because the chairman needs to use the facilities.
The agendas. Application 21/34731/HOU, Woolwarnock Tree Farm, Ash Lane, Yarnfield. Retrospective application for retention of an existing triple garage with hard servicing to the front driveway. Good way to our planning officer.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application to replace a detached double garage with an attached triple garage within the curtilage of a modern detached house within the settlement boundary of Yarnfield. In addition, the application also includes replacement of a block paved driveway with a tiled hard surface. The application is submitted in retrospect, but that does not affect its consideration. You can see from the plans that the garage is located in a similar position to the previous... Sorry. You will be able to see from the plans when I show you the plans. In a moment.
You can imagine it.
The garage is located in a similar position to the previous detached garage, but is wider and also deeper. However, it is no nearer to the road than the previous garage. You'll also note that on page 57 of the agenda, there's reference to an application for a lawful development certificate of proposed development being submitted to demonstrate a fallback position. That shows that a garage of almost the same size, but detached from the house, could be constructed under permitted development rights. And whilst the garage could be adapted to detach it from the house and to construct a gable end wall, it would also be necessary to reduce the eaves and ridge height of the garage by approximately 0.2 and 0.1 metres respectively. So it's not a simple fallback position. It is my point. Since the report was completed, drainage has been installed at the front of the driveway, as shown on the submitted plan, to intercept water which would flow from the driveway onto the road. As such, it is recommended that condition two be amended to require retention of the drainage rather than its implementation as is shown on the agenda. You'll see from the agenda that there were a significant number of responses from neighbours both in support of and objecting to the application. The issues of character and appearance, residential amenity and parking provision are each covered in separate sections in the report in the agenda. So, looking at the images now, the red edge on the screen is the boundary of the site. You can see on there the element to the left, the square shape, is the detached double garage that was there, and the other element is the house itself. Not much point in looking at the area because that's before the estate was built.
It was very nice.
So there are four photographs, they're all taken from the front. So the first one is from the right hand side, if you like. And that one you can see the house itself. The garage is to the left, partly obscured by a small tree. Better pictures coming up. That's the one that shows the extent of the triple garage, and as you can see it is now attached to the house. The tiled hard standing you can see either side of the car. That's what's it basically was block paving originally, like the pavement in that location, which is in front of the car. It's been replaced by this hard surface, tile-type surface. That's a photograph looking the other way. You can see the driveway, and as you can see, there's a slight slope on the driveway. So, hence the reason for the drainage at the front is because water could potentially flow down to the right. And the final photograph, you can see the end wall of the garage, the access to the rear garden, and the fence on the left is the boundary fence property. So now we come on to the plans. So this plan shows what was there, house, detached double garage, not detached by very much from the house, but that's what was there before, and that's what's there now. And not very easy to see, but there was a dotted line that goes through a car to there and back again. That shows the dotted line shows where the double garage was. So you can see the garage is a little bit wider to the left, a little bit wider to the right, and goes back a bit further. But essentially, it's pretty much in the same place as it was before. But it's attached. So, the recommendation, Chairman, is that the application is approved, subject to condition 1 as listed in the agenda, and a revised condition 2 which replaces the final words which did say, shall be implemented within 3 months of the date of this permission, with the words, shall be retained for the lifetime of the development. Thank you.
Councillor Kemp?
Can we see the outline of the original thing you put up where, so we can see what it looks like compared with others? Because one of the objectives is it's out of scale with the surrounding properties. Whereas it had a 2, now it's got a 3. And I wondered, you know, whether this is a bit of them or not happy to. The original. I think it's one back.
That one, yeah. So you can see on this development that they're all quite,
all got big,
quite large
ones.
Properties. This is one of the larger ones.
Yeah. There are other large properties on there, aren't there?
Now, some of them have integrated integral garages. I think on one of the photographs you could see.
There's one there. You may just go back a moment. Just go back a moment.
Sorry.
It's at the rear of this property, and it's got. It looks as if it's got a garage at one end of the garden and a garage at the other end. Well, it's got a brick building at the other end.
Sorry, which photograph are you talking about?
Go back to the one you were showing us.
That one. Yeah.
The one at the back end. Is it white? I can't read from here. My eyes are not that good now. Something about Ash Lane. It's on the bend.
Okay. The modern estate, the modern estate is the 10 houses at the end.
Yeah.
So around the cul-de-sac, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, the 10 houses. So this is. Show you on the plan.
Yeah, I mean, the one.
Yeah, and then you're talking about here, aren't you?
That one, yeah.
Yeah. This is the modern estate, and some of this is much older properties.
So that's not part of this.
No. This estate that was built a few years ago is this.
This
brick here.
This
town here. Yeah.
And they're the only one with it. Well, no, it's not yours. There's some land at the other end.
So
right, the bottom one right at the bottom. across a bit.
What
else?
Yeah,
that one. What sort of. Is that a one or two garage thing there?
I don't know, but I haven't got a photograph of that.
It's a bit iffy, isn't it?
The properties would require three parking spaces if they are four bedroom, which I think most of them are. Four bedroom or more. And that could include garage space.
Yeah. As the officer said, there's so much on a covenant, but it's not our business.
No.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Councillor Cunningham.
On image 3, I think you see just behind the white car on image 3, there is an adjoining garage there to the. Behind the white car.
The one behind the white car, I think that's an attached garage. Looks like it's attached to the house, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the only view there is. It shows any other garages.
Any other councillors to speak? Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This development of 10 properties, all built at the same time.
Yeah.
So
the permission was 2014, so they were probably built a couple of years after that, I would guess.
Councillor Dennis Jones.
I personally don't see it. I haven't got an issue with this, but I'm on page 58, item paragraph 5, second paragraph of that. It says neighbouring occupiers raise the matter of other extensions, alterations of the property, which they consider to require planning permission. The current application deals. You're going to tell me that we're only going to concerned with the matter in hand, which is the triple garage, but presumably we have a concern that there are going to be applications on an individual basis that could change the nature of this, and I'm just wondering whether we should be concerned about that in any way.
The application for the lawful development certificate. The agent refers to two previous extensions having been undertaken under permitted development rights. Now, they're clearly not in view on these photographs, so it must be presumably the rear of the property. There's quite a lot you can do in terms of extensions, certain single-story extensions, without needing planning permission. And effectively what the lawful development certificate was trying to demonstrate is that you could build pretty much virtually a triple garage as long as it was detached and not forward of the original house. So I think I understand what the neighbours are saying, but given that given that this resulted in this application being submitted, I don't think any of the others require permission. Obviously, we will check that. But it's not something you could take into account in determining this one anyway.
Okay, Chair, I would propose that we accept this. We accept this proposal as outlined.
Yeah. Did you wish to speak at all, concerned?
No, I was just going to say that I've got a problem with it. You know, it really looks fitting within the area. I'll second the.
Does anyone else wish to speak on this? I have a proposal then that we accept, approve the application as per the officer's recommendation. Subject to condition 1 and the revised condition 2 as listed. All those in favour? Please show. Down to the answer venue. Unanimous. Thank you very much, members. That is carried. You turn to page 63. Appeals. One new appeal. Bracken Barn, Long Lane, Horton, replacement windows and doors with UPVC. Decided appeals.
I want to speak on this KFC. It's been allowed by the inspector.
Right, so I'll go through them anyway.
Pardon?
I'll go through them first. There's three.
The
first one is the land opposite the Homestead Nosal Road. Is an amendment to what we our officers recommended was a 3-month period. The inspector has amended it to 4. The second item, Norbury Barn, Manor Barns, Norbury, the appeal was dismissed, conversion of a Dutch bar to provide garaging. That appeal has been dismissed. The third item, Beacon Business Park, Unit L Western Road, the appeal allowed, which is a demolition of existing outbuilding. Proposed KFC drive-through and restaurant with associated external works, and that appeal's been allowed. Yeah. Councillor Angela.
Can I say, Chairman, that having a looking at this and thinking to myself, you know, health in all policies, and this is right outside schools. And you know, thinking of obesity and that in children and sitting on the Health Select Committee at County, I am really, really concerned that this inspector has allowed this to go through. I mean, we're trying to protect our children and trying to look after them and that, but I think this is going against anything that we're trying to do as far as health is concerned and obesity in children, because this is going to encourage children to spend the money in that KFC, and I just feel that it's totally unacceptable, and I really do feel that we should be complaining. Can we do anything about it? Can we say anything? Can we object? Is there anything we can do, John?
Only on a point of law, if he's legally urged how he arrived at his decision, and there's no evidence of that.
Where does health come into this? I mean, I just can't get my head around it. I'm sorry. It really annoys me when we think we're trying to protect our children and that, and then this is allowed. I wouldn't mind if it wasn't outside a school, but it's right outside schools. There's 2 schools there. And this is why we rejected it at the planning committee. This planning committee rejected it on those grounds, looking after our children. And this is certainly not looking after our children. And I think it's terrible, and I think, well, I'm not going to rest on this, I don't think. I've got to take this
journey. But as our legal officer says, it could only, you can't appeal an appeal unless it's on a legitimate legal point.
The planning inspector has taken a different planning judgment to you, but they seem to have approached it legally.
Well, I'm sorry, but I would have taken it.
All right, thank you.
It's
Council Kempy.
Thank you.
You wish to speak?
Yes. You may clarify this. This is 3 sites, guard room.
That's right. Yes,
yes.
It was.
I mean, 1 or 2 things have been cooked up there in the past. Not by colleagues of mine, because when I arrived here, it was Air Force Police that were there.
Yeah, it was 3 sites. It was a guard room on the entrance to the military.
The only thing I will agree with, Councillor, Angela, is the children are on the other side of the road, and it is now a very dangerous place to cross. And that's the only thing that worries me about it, because the crossing, which is controlled, is further down, isn't it? Yeah. And I think that's the only thing that I would, be muttering about.
We've got the primary school though on that side.
Yeah, because it becomes this strange double highway outside there. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Councillor Jones.
On paragraph 21, page 73, it seems to say, in this case, I have no specific evidence put forward to show why the use should be resisted on public health grounds. And there is no policy basis in the development plan. Everything that has come across the table in relation to this indicates that there is a possible impact on public health.
No, but the officers approved it, rejected.
It is so wrong. Sorry.
Anyway, members, I'll now close the meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance. May I wish you all a very happy Christmas and a Merry New Year.
You too, Chair.